The Never-Ending Ineffable Omens. Written by Zeno Botanist. Read by Rambling Company. One elbow propped up on the counter behind him, Crowley scanned the interior of Starfall books and modern reading materials. I know you wanted to get away for a while, but I still don't see why we had to come all the way out to the arse end of the quadrant. Have you even had any customers yet since opening? Aziraphale looked up from the isolinear rods he was categorizing just as a couple of people entered the shop. Those two arrived as soon as I opened the doors last week. They've been in practically every other day since then. He lowered his voice, bending forward. One of them's my newest charge. Crowley squinted through his glasses. Wait, what? Which one? The gray one, with the scales, and they're very nice scales, aren't they? Mine are better, Crowley mumbled under his breath, not jealous at all. Are you sure? The human bloke next to him is my assignment. No, really? Obvious as a vole on a biobed, Aziraphale leaned even farther over the counter to get a better look. He looks so sweet. What are you supposed to do to him? As soon as the human turned halfway in his direction, he ducked back again, scattering a pile of papers onto the floor. Crowley bent down to pick them up, then carried them around behind the desk so he wouldn't have to speak too loudly. I'm supposed to get him interested in espionage, so he can be recruited by this shady group called Section 31. They've been working with us for decades. He's already got this fascination or whatever with spy holoprograms, so it shouldn't be too hard. He turned to study the pair perusing the shelves and other things. Oi! No touching the plants! The man covered in gray scales and a snazzy tunic dropped his hand, bobbing his head apologetically. Pardon me, I used to be a gardener and couldn't help noticing that you've acquired an Adosian orchid. Oh, is that what it is? All I know is that if it drops one more leaf, it's going out the airlock. Crowley glared menacingly at the now shivering specimen. Completely undeterred by his displeased tone, the other man frowned. Perhaps you wouldn't have to resort to threatening it if you added more sand to the soil. It's Cardassian, you see, like me. It may come from the tropical clime of Eidos Isle, but sand blows in regularly from the ocean breeze. He sniffed. But what would I know? I'm just a plain and simple tailor these days. His companion snorted audibly. Crowley rolled his eyes and turned back to Aziraphale. Snooty fellow, isn't he? Right up your alley. Oh, not at all. The angel shook his head so hard his curls jiggled. He used to be an Obsidian Order spy, a Black Ops agent, interrogator, assassin. I mean, he was a gardener once, but it was part of his cover on Romulus. Really? Crowley gave the Cardassian a harder inspection over the top of his glasses. Interesting. He watched as the human next to him exclaimed over a discovery, pointing at the spine of one of the older books. And now he's a tailor. What is your job for him, then? To design a new set of robes? No, Aziraphale beamed and bounced on his toes. I'm supposed to help him find joy again. He held up his hands at Crowley's doubtful raised eyebrows. I know, it's sort of vague, but if he can learn to have a little fun, and maybe make some friends along the way, it'll bring him over to the light side, so to speak. He's lived very much in the shadows for most of his life. Humph. They watched the pair move from stack to table, table to shelf, and shelf to crate, side by side. Good luck doing that in the middle of a war. Yes, well, Aziraphale tidied up a couple pens and pads that didn't really need tidying. What about yours? Who is he? An ordinary human doctor, chief medical officer of this station. He's got a bit of a shadowy past of his own, actually. Crowley grinned, chip on his shoulder towards the old man. Marks with daddy issues are always the easiest. Whatever Aziraphale was about to say in reply was cut off when the tailor and doctor crossed the sales floor with their selections. The tailor cradled a single thick and dusty tome, while the other juggled six data rods in his gangly fingers. I'm so glad you opened this shop, the human enthused. I was beginning to get bored with what I have, and the selection at Quark's is a little... limited. He laid the rods out to be scanned. I'm Dr. Bashir, by the way. Are you both the proprietors? Certainly not, Crowley groused. I am, Mr. Fell, at your service. Aziraphale gave a brisk nod. Like Starfall, very clever. Bashir elbowed the man next to him. You should think about renaming your clothier or something like that. The tailor shuffled his books to the other arm, far from the swinging limb. Garrick means noose weaver, my dear. I don't think it would go over very well. Bashir's eyes widened in mortification, but he quickly shook it off. I'm sure it doesn't. He eyed the angel, then the demon. I don't suppose either of you speak Cardassian. I do, actually. Aziraphale handed his sales pad over to Bashir, who signed it without even noticing that the price listed was $0. Garrick is a surname that is approximately 2,300 years old, and it comes from the ancient Habishian Gariki, meaning those who bear secrets. They were a very tight-knit brotherhood, if I recall, tasked with collecting sacred wisdom and protecting it. Bashir's mouth dropped open. You don't say! His eyes softened. That sounds very noble, something a person could be proud of. Garrick didn't respond, just set his book on the counter. Aziraphale tapped the cover. The Circle of Obligation. Ah, yes, the sequel to The Neverending Sacrifice. Just a moment here. He flipped to the back. Did you see this? It's autographed by the author. No, I... Garrick blinked in astonishment. I didn't know there were any signed copies in existence. His shoulders drooped. This must be incredibly valuable. I didn't realize. I'm afraid that whatever your price is, I can't afford it. Bashir put a hand on his shoulder. Maybe we could work out a trade, he addressed the angel. Could Garrick make you some clothes? Maybe something fancy? He's very talented. The tailor shook his head. Doctor, I could sew a lifetime's worth of suits, and it wouldn't even come close to matching the price. And I don't have much need for clothes. Hey, Aziraphale glared at Crowley, who had just kicked him in the shin. I mean, I have so many already, but maybe we could come up with something else. He paused for a moment, thinking. Or I could just pay for it myself, Bashir offered. He smiled at his friend. Think of it as an early birthday present. Or late. Maybe one of these days you'll actually tell me when that is. He pointed to the novel. Add it to my sale. Doctor! Garrick was taken aback. You can't do that. I can, and I am. I've had a few lucky nights at the Dabo tables, and Quark talked me into a couple investments. Besides, he gave a lopsided grin, I know how much you adore The Neverending Sacrifice. You'd never get over missing out on a chance like this. Garrick melted on the spot. I don't know what to say. That's a first. Completely ignoring the other two people in the room, Bashir ducked his head. Tell you what, you could thank me by joining me for dinner tonight. I've got some Delavian chocolate ice cream for dessert, and I wouldn't mind sharing it with someone. Garrick cocked his head to the side in apparent confusion. That would only put me further into your debt. Not really, Bashir stepped closer. With how busy everything has been, I haven't gotten out much, so I've been rather lonely lately. I would appreciate a little enjoyable company. Maybe you could read me the first chapter of your new book over a glass of wine. Considering him more closely now, Garrick stepped forward too. A single glass? We could share. They regarded each other in silence, an entire conversation taking place without words. Eventually, the doctor and tailor took their items from the counter at the same time. Garrick nodded at Aziraphale, then Crowley. Thank you for the literature, gentlemen. Have a pleasant day. He glanced at Bashir. Shall we, my dear? Tentatively, he touched his hand to the small of the human's back and led him towards the door. Bashir slid sideways until they were nearly hip to hip, and they exited together into the passing crowd. Aziraphale opened his mouth, then pulled it back closed. What just happened? Crowley smirked. I think we just set them up on a date. No, we didn't. Yes, we did. We were right there. Crowley waved a hand. Personally, I think we should both get gold stars or extra credit for finishing our work so quickly. Think about it. The doctor is literally getting into bed with the spy, and the spy may have just found love. I'm good. You're good. He executed a little jig, then curtsied. Mission accomplished. For both of us. No, they can't. That's just... Aziraphale furrowed his brow. It couldn't be that easy, could it? Well, I mean, Crowley took his hand, I suppose we could miracle a little rain shower on the promenade just to make sure they have to shelter together, for old time's sake. Despite not being corporeal, Aziraphale did a very good job of blushing. We better not. It would be awfully hard to explain away on a space station. True, true. Crowley took off his glasses and laid a small kiss on Aziraphale's knuckles. Maybe you could snap an Adosian orchid into one of their quarters then. Maybe. That would be terribly romantic, wouldn't it? His gaze flicked down to Crowley's lips and then back to his golden eyes. How did you come up with that? Crowley used his free hand to trace along Aziraphale's cheek. The angel nuzzled into it, closing his eyes. What can I say? Sometimes I just find myself overcome with divine inspiration. Thank you for listening. This was recorded for Voice Team 2024. And remember, quack early and quack often.
Quack!